Hi, and welcome to another wonderful edition of International Writers Network. And I do have, and I'm not just saying it, it's actually a privilege to have Brendan Shanahan on the show today. Hi, Brendan, how are you?
Hello, Mary, how are you?
It's been a long time. Thanks a lot for being patient. This is a real privilege for me. I've watched you in the distance, been in the same group, but I'm so privileged that we can have this conversation. Now, Brendan, we'd like to know the writers a little bit more. If I gave you 1 minute, how would you describe yourself? What would you want us to take away about Brendan today?
Well, my writing, I think, was inspired by my father. And when I wrote a small essay when I was maybe 8 or 9 years of age, he thought that this was really, really very funny. And I think that's what really inspired me in terms of my writing of prose or writing of poetry or writing of music. And because it sort of gave me encouragement. While some of my material can be serious, but when I get to prose and maybe writing a novel or whatever it is, the underwriting part of it and the underpinning part of it is a sense of humor. And initially, I saw myself as trying to write something serious like James Joyce or Samuel Beckett, but realized quite quickly that I didn't have that sort of ability or didn't have that sort of time either. So to take away from what I do is I like to feel that what I do contributes in some way to a better world and to people generally, and that they would feel that, yeah, I feel a bit better as a result of reading this, or I feel a bit better as a result of listening to what I've produced.
Well, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing. Are you an activist with your writing then? Or are you simply doing, because obviously that's more than entertainment. You're not just flabbing people's, you know, just rubbing their skin and say, you know, kumbaya. You actually want people to have changes? Is that what I heard?
Well, when I'm writing, it depends on where I'm coming from. With prose, at present, I currently tend to focus on short stories. And the forum for that is the Ballymun Writers Group, whom I'm very proud to be a member of and have been for a number of years. That's a structure within which I can work. And quite frankly, when I'm writing, I do need deadlines. If I'm not given a deadline, I may never finish what I want to do. So with the Ballymun Writers Group, we produced some annual books and with collaborations from everybody within the group who've submitted stories. In addition, that has given me an avenue to a publication under the National Library's journal, and I've submitted a short story called Ban Shiism, and I'm glad to say that that will be published, along with other submissions from writers from around Dublin. But that has inspired me to believe that there's a number of other short stories that I can write on the just using the banner of banshees. And the reason for that is that because banshees have been in Ireland since the beginning of time, and if they do exist, and maybe they do, maybe they don't, but I can use a banshee almost as a time machine. So I can place a banshee at any part of history within Ireland. So I can go to the Battle of Clontarf in 1014. I can have a banshee there. I can have a banshee when Cú Chulainn was playing hurling up in the Cooley Mountains. And I can have a banshee in modern times. So that's where I am with that. Is that okay, Mary?
Yes, I mean, that's really, really exciting, because it's like, now I want to know if you can give us, what do you mean by banshee? For those who may not be Irish, who are listening to this show, because it sounds a really fascinating thing that you could go through like a time machine, like, you know, outer space kind of thing. You could bring it in and you could create history, recreate history and bring them in to show. But what would we say a banshee is for those who are not?
Banshee is a being which is a harbinger, in other words, a portent of somebody is about to die. So a banshee is generally associated more outside Dublin as a wailing sort of sound, almost like the wind, which would mean that John is on his deathbed and would probably pass away this evening, or Maria is feeling very, very ill, and maybe she will be expected to pass away this evening. So it's always been associated as sort of bad news. But the Banshee-ism that I'm using is not a Banshee that represents bad news. It actually represents good news. So I'm coming at it from the point of view of the Banshee itself. So I'm putting a personality on the Banshee as somebody who is actually helping people to move from this life as a bridge across into the next life in a seamless way.
I think that sounds really exciting. Yes. You know what I'm saying? That is what creative writing does for you, that you can actually recreate situation and make it more meaningful, at least get the thing on the other side. And I totally admire you because I've heard some of your Banshee stories. I have to say some of them frighten me, but there you are. I'm getting more of a meaning for it today. Now, having said that, did you go to any academic training for your writing, or was it just something just through the Ballymont Writers Group, what you did in your own home? How did your writing develop? Because you're also a songwriter as well.
I have never gone to any formal school or training school for creative writing, per se, except for the Ballymont Writers Group. But the group up there are quite talented and have assisted and supported. Now, would it have made any difference? I did study English in UCD. I was never really an academic, quite frankly, at school. But I always liked English and I always liked things that were creative. And again, I go back to my father in terms of my music. I remember he played the mouth organ. And as a child, he used to come in with and say, "This is a song I've just learned." And he would play it in the mouth organ. But at the end of playing one or two songs, he would say, "And this is a song that I made up myself."
Fantastic.
Yeah. And that's and I think he sowed a seed in me that always said that, okay, I will learn other things, but really I'm more at home when I'm doing or creating something of my own. And I think that's where it came from. And I think a lot of Irish people maybe are like that, or maybe creative people just are like that as well. In terms of singing and songwriting, I think I've been doing that almost from the time that I picked up a guitar. You know, learning songs. I think one of the first songs I ever learned was Moon Shadow by Cat Stevens. And that's still my favorite song.
Wonderful. And you made your own recording of that song, I take it. Did you record that
song? I haven't actually recorded the Cat Stevens number, but I have, you know, he's a songwriter that I have admired over the years. But again, in a strange way, I was always very careful to make sure that no particular musician or no particular writer over-influenced me.
That's a good point. That's a good point for writers. It's going to end up being a double instead of being an original. I like that.
Yes.
I really like that. I really like that.
Yes.
Do you know what? There's something I want to talk about, just quickly to tell me, because I was fascinated to find out that you're involved in DCU's Age-friendly universities. Tell me a little bit about that, because that is that to do with your creative writing, or just something you want to just how do you become part of that, and what is the purpose of that?
Well, Dublin City University is an age-friendly university. And basically, they sent out a call for people over a certain age. In other words, people, I think, over 50 or 55, whatever. Making just a general call, would you be interested in making a film? And I wrote back and I said that I've never been involved in the making of a film. I'm basically a singer-songwriter, and I also do some writing of prose and some poetry. And they responded to the effect, and they said, Brendan, we would like you on board. And so on that basis, I volunteered. And the upshot of all of that was that a short video was produced. I have a very strong respect for the environment. And it ended up as a dialogue that between myself and the world, in a sort of a humorous dialogue between the two. Like, it starts off with me saying to the world, hello world, how are you? And then the world comes back and says, the polar bear is hot, the ice is shot, habitat's gone, echoes of a song. And that was the response back from the world. So it developed a little bit from that because the Age Friendly University, in other words, Dublin City University, suggested that maybe the world should take on a young voice. So a child from a school agreed to volunteer and do it. And her voice was absolutely incredible. It was very, very similar to the girl from Sweden who's famous for her promotion of the environment. Thornburg, I think is her name.
Yes.
So she has a voice exactly like her or similar to her. That was totally unintentional. So she's not a child, she's maybe 10 or 11. I've never met her. And she did a recording based on the script which was sent to her from me. And she did her part over onto a phone, and I did mine separately onto a phone. And then Dublin City University, Age Friendly University, merged the two. And then there was a video put together as well of drawings from a school that where they had impressions of what was being said on the script. And they were showing as part of the video. And the university then also had a competition. In other words, that anybody who put in a submission, they all got a book token, which was fantastic. And then the top three got a book token as well, which with a slightly higher value. So that's how it worked.
Well, I love the fact that your creativity, your writing is doing things, you know, is really, really helping to change people, to think differently. I think that's important. And I appreciate that because the world must be molded by the people who live in it. And writers are, you know, they have that opportunity to let people see things differently. So I want to congratulate you on that. So on that note, is it possible for us to have your first reading, please? We are one.
Yes, but what I have here is, I suppose, a poem stroke song. And the longer I'm creating, the more my music and my writings are merging.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I find it very hard to distinguish anymore between when I'm writing. For example, I've written a short story called Banshee-ism, as I've already mentioned. But I've asked a voice expert, a young lady who's residing in London, to give me some indication of what a banshee might sound like based on the story that I've sent to her. And she is a voice expert, so she's going to come back with some recordings. So this is a song called We Are One, and it's really all about the protection and respect for the environment. It's actually a song, but I think it's also a poem. So if I just read it out, Mary, would that be in order?
That would be perfect. That would be perfect.
We are one. In the night light, in the shadow of the evening, people all around, mirrors flash, bash, crush, crash. In a different world, kaleidoscope, silhouette your soul. Up, down, down, up. Whatever comes, drink the cup. Glory to the evening and the setting sun, to the streams and forests of the world, to the river Jordan, Babylon, to the river Ganges, to the setting sun, we are one. In the twilight, within the glory and the story, between the pain and the light, slaves crave, behave, say. In a different time, downtrodden, carried the Saviour's boat, concave in, concave out. Conclave is what it's all about. Glory to the evening and the setting sun, to the streams and forests of the world, to the river Jordan, Babylon, to the river Ganges, to the setting sun, we are one.
That is very moving. I would love to hear the music. I really would. This is, I mean, how you read perfectly, obviously, because that's what you do.
Thank you.
But saying we are one, it's really challenging, isn't it? To think again about that environment, that river, that forest. Is that your intention, to grip our heart and make us think again about how you're treating this environment? We're really dependent. Is that, tell me what you were in your heart.
It's really about protection for the environment and asking people to consider we're privileged to live in this world. This is a super, super, super world and a super, super, super universe. And it saddens me sometimes to think that there are people in very senior positions, not only in this country, but in other countries, who seem to not take on board that we have a living world that can be destroyed. And there is a sense that we're at almost a tipping point, that we need to make substantial changes. So that song, We Are One, is about my admiration for the world. And it's also an encouragement to other people to just respect what we have.
I think that's so well done. Thank you. I'm guilty as charged. I need to keep having songs like that and words like that, because sometimes you forget, don't you? And then things like this come about, and it's through entertainment, through just recital of poetry and things like this. Oh my gosh, I need to take note of that. And I think you're doing a great job. It's a great job that you're doing. So on that note, the topic for this month that we're talking about as writers is respect. Brendan, how do you think about that word? What does that word mean to you? There's no right or wrong answers, by the way. So just we want to know your attitude towards respect.
The word respect comes from the Latin respectus. And respectus in Latin means to look twice and to look at things again. So if I'm meeting people, especially people that I've never met before, I like to bring with me the idea not to judge what they look like or anything like that. In other words, to look twice and to look beyond maybe what my initial impression. In other words, to give space to people. So that underpins what I mean by respect. And it relates to the world, and it relates in particular to having respect for people.
That's fair game. Respecting those, don't judge. I think you're saying don't judge people by its cover. Just give them the initial respect and let them be themselves, and also the environment. Having spoken about it, respect.
Yeah, but not to judge people just by the cover or anything else. But I think that there is a lot of bias generally in the ether. For example, there are so many people who have fallen off the edge of society. There are, for whatever reason, it may be people who are homeless, it may be people who have addiction problems, and they're very, very often regarded as second-class citizens or third-class citizens or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, all of these people are individuals. They have a story as to why they've ended up where they are. And I would say, without doubt, if we were talking about people who are homeless, and you said, when you were 16 or 17, did you decide that you wanted to be homeless? And I think 100% of the response would be no. Similarly, with somebody who has maybe an alcoholic problem or some addiction problem, if you ask the same question, did you intend your life to go in the direction that you would become an addict of an abuser or whatever? And inevitably, I think the answer will come back, no. So people get sick or whatever, for whatever reason, and maybe take the wrong turn and fall off the edge. So I think respect is something that we need to have very much to the fore when we see people like that, or when we're dealing with people like that. Because at the end of the day, they are human. We may be angry about things that maybe they have done to us or whatever. But most of the time, the damage that they have done is to themselves and to their own a ripple effect with their families and all of that. But at the end of the day, there is always hope, and there is always a possibility that they will turn the corner and that they will make a positive contribution to society and to the universe generally.
I think I love that. Thank you. Respect, hope for those we don't know where they can be if we supported them. Thank you very much. That's very inspiring, if anything else.
Thank you.
And very engaging. Now, I want to turn to your last poem, The Boat. Do you think?
Oh, yes, The Boat.
Which I find that very engaging. It engaged me to think a lot. How did that come about?
Yeah.
Because it's also a song, isn't it?
Yes, there is a song, which is a very, very short song. But it really began, I think, about 3-4 years ago, when a lot of people were coming to Europe by boat. And they were fleeing conflicts, or they were coming to Europe for economic reasons. And a lot of them were dying on that journey. And I remember the image of a father with his child in his arms, and the child was dead. And there could be arguments that maybe he should never have got on the boat in the first place and all of that. So, and then there was a lot of debate in society. Is Europe being flooded with people from other countries and from the third world, and is Europe going to be overcrowded? And there's arguments why people would be afraid, and there's arguments why people would say you should not be afraid. So I was thinking about that, and eventually came to the general, at least the conclusion, that this is, again, one world. If something happens in Australia, or something happens like in Afghanistan, that has an effect here. It has an effect in Europe as well. So I came down on the side that by and large, we should be welcoming people who are vulnerable, because after all, we are not vulnerable and we're quite wealthy. So that inspired this song called The Boat, because I imagined myself as somebody in some part of the world where there was a conflict and in order for to have a new life and to ensure that I wasn't killed or damaged or whatever, to leave and get on the boat. So that's what this is about. So do you want me to read it out to you, Mary?
Yes, please.
We're on the boat. We hope we'll float. Let the waves take us in. On dry land, the promised land, will you lend a hand? I left my family searching for my destiny. Got on the boat full of hope. I left my home searching for another home. All I've found is a fence. We're on the boat. We hope we'll float. Let the waves take us in. On dry land, the promised land, will you lend a hand? Talks go on, but we carry on. How much are we worth? A billion here, a billion there. Just keep the borders clear. We're on the boat. We hope we'll float. Let the waves take us on. On dry land, the promised land, will you lend a hand?
I have to say, hats off to you. In fact, you know, you captured so many images there. And I love your alliteration, you know, the sounds and things that you put in there. Brennan, I am moved by the two poems you've said to us today because they really have a lot to say. And I thank you for writing them. And I hope one day we'll hear your songs, that many will hear your song. You know what I'm saying? Because we need to lend a helping hand. We have sadly come to the end. It's been a great pleasure to have you. But we would like to know, where can we follow you? We know you have written, you've been involved in two anthologies, plays and other things. Where can we follow Brendan? If we want to know more and be part of you, where can we get more of those wholesome songs and poems and prose?
So, as I say, the Ballymun Writers Group or my email.
Well, Brendan, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for giving this information. It's been a pleasure. And we hope we'll hear more of you. And kudos. Exciting work. Just knowing what you've done and what you're going to do and your inspiration. Thank you so much.
You can't wait for the morning to come, but you can stand the light. You feel at home in the middle of the night. You feel ashamed in the bright. Raining in Whitehall, raining in Whitehall tonight. Raining in Whitehall, yes it is, yes it is, yes it is. Below the surface of your brain, your soul resides, unfettered by chains. Prometheus, unbound, fly high like Icarus. Soar until you hit the ground. Raining in Whitehall, raining in Whitehall tonight.
Download the podcast and catch up on your listening at near.ie.
Near FM.
How's it going, brother?
All right, what's up?
Are these guys any good?
Dude, these guys are class.
I hear they play the best homegrown music live every Thursday night.
Yeah, on Near FM 90.3 from 8 till 9.
The Near FM Sessions.
Hi, hello, and welcome to a quick promo for my show, The Electric Wave, on Near FM on Thursday evenings. If you like your tunes electric and maybe a little eclectic, with a tinge of 80s electronics thrown in, then join me, 7 to 8pm, every Thursday on Near FM 90.3. I'll be playing everything from Kraftwerk to New Order, from the Human League to the Galaxy. By the way, I'm Rob Garvey. See you all 7 p.m. Thursdays for the Electric Wave.
The Digital Experience. Missed a programme or an interview? Catch up now online with the Near FM Digital Experience. We're online 24 hours a day, podcasting every day. Visit nearfm.ie/podcast.
Here at Near FM, we are participating in the community call to help combat the effects of COVID-19. The purpose of the community call is to coordinate community activity and community assistance to where it is needed. We ask our listeners to look out for each other. If your neighbours or relatives are required to stay at home, check with them to see if they need supports. And if you're in that category yourself, don't hesitate to ask for help. Whether it's with shopping, fuel delivery, collecting medicines, or any other necessities of daily life. The local authority helpline is there as a safety net to ensure that everyone is looked after. If you need assistance and you live in Dublin City, call 01-222-8555. That's 01-222-8555. If you need assistance and you live in Fingal, call 01-890-5000. That's 01-890-5000. Let's all stay safe together. From all here at Near FM.
90.3.
This is Near FM.
Hi, welcome to the second part of International Writers Network. And what we've done this week is to extend the event page, because for the first time, 1st of October, we're able to cover a live event. Now, since COVID, we've been Zooming, we've been telephoning, but we've never had the opportunity to actually go out there and cover an event. So this is very exciting. I did a voice pop, so I want you all to listen to what people were saying. There's an excitement where you meet face to face. We're going to be covering more events for you, but I've given you time to enjoy what people enjoyed on the 1st of October at Holt, Poetry Music Night. And at the end, I give you a little bit of poem. Some of one of the poets. Thanks. Bye-bye. Well, I just want to find out how you found the night. If you could just tell me, how was the night?
Thanks, Mary. I really enjoyed the night. It was a combination of light and heavy, light and darkness. It was beautiful and very moving, really, to hear the story, especially the story of the woman with the fibromyalgia. But I think sometimes there's a song, I would like to laugh with you and share your deepest sorrow. I would like to cry with you and share your deepest sorrow and laugh with you and show you that the light can walk beside deep water and compassion is their child.
Thank you very much. Thank you. What about you, John? How did you find today? It's an app.
It was good to hear voices and see faces and feel the energy flowing through people, which you don't get in a video. So it was good to see people again and feel that. Thank
you,
Mary.
So you had a good night.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do you want to say anything? Did you enjoy the night? She just came over. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, see Mary.
You. Thank you. Good time. How did you enjoy the night, sir?
Yeah, grand. It's good, isn't it? What are you doing?
I'm taping it. I'm taping it. It's a radio show.
Is it?
Yeah. So I'm just in a voice box to find out how people found it. Tell me
no, it's very good. It's very good. It's brilliant.
And what's your name?
Anne McDonald.
Are you a writer yourself?
No, I write poetry, but I had no new stuff written for this week. So I didn't read out any poetry tonight, but I'll read some more the next time I come down.
Oh,
yeah.
So you had a good time?
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah.
What do you like best about it?
Just the music and everything, you know?
It's music. It's good to be back out. It's good to see people again. So I look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah.
And to interview you.
Lovely.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, I'm just looking for people. This is actually a radio app, okay? And I just want to find out, how did you find tonight?
Oh, very good. Very good.
Just give me your name and how you found tonight and what you like best about it.
My name is Anna Quinn. And I thought it's just a new experience, so I thought it was brilliant. I came down with my friend just to support her, but it's been a very, very, very good night.
And what do you like best about tonight?
I think the poems are... they're just inspirational. Like you resonate with some of them, you know, and it's lovely. And then Margaret's story is very funny.
Her story's hilarious.
But like I'd heard Margaret's story and I knew, but like I still laughed again. And but it's just different to what I would normally do. But it was really, really good. Oh, and I'm glad I came.
I'm Mary Odua from NIRFM, International Writers Programme. And we have a writers programme where we broadcast every 2 weeks.
All right.
Yeah, and we interview writers. But we also cover events. So I hope you don't mind that your voice is talking on the radio, so you how much you enjoy tonight.
I don't like the sound of my voice. I was told I had a unique voice. And then when I heard my voice back, I didn't really like it.
That's probably how you made your voice without knowing it. How are you doing, ladies? How are you doing? My name's Mary from New England. We run a radio program, but today I'm covering Big Red. I want to know, how did you find tonight?
Very good. Very good. Linda will probably have more things to say.
How did you find tonight's event? Tell me the name.
This is the first event I've been at with people in quite a long time. First reading event. So I've enjoyed it very much. It's quite varied, as usual, and people are very warm and supportive of whoever's up doing whatever they do, which is great.
And are you inviting yourself?
Yes, I'm going to be in the next half.
You'll
be doing some poetry in the second half. Myself and Veronica, we were in the first half, but we were a bit late, so we got
fantastic.
Moved.
Yes, I've heard so much about Veronica and then the other one.
Yeah.
You're the lady that. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, I'm there really doing the International Writers Network. And I hope you will come onto the program and give us more of your writing.
You can tell me more about it. It's very hard for me to hear a background noise.
No problem. I need to have this background noise so that I'm an event.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So thank you very much.
Yeah. And you're reading poetry as well, are you?
Don't ask me because I'm getting a while ago, but now I'm better. But I had a chest infection for a while, and my voice isn't kind of bad.
I'm with Brendan, who performed wonderfully tonight. Brendan, how was it performing tonight?
Very, very well, Mary, and thank you for asking.
And what was special about tonight? Because, I mean, you were just excellent.
It was a great sense of community, for a start, and a lot of friendly faces around the place, and smiling faces, and everybody relaxed. What a scenario just to play music in.
Well, thank you very much, Brendan. Enjoy that. Have a great day. Thank you. Find out. So this is the man that videotaped everything today. How was tonight for you?
There was very one point of people, and then we discovered how many good artists, talented we have in Dublin, and some of them was very humorous poetry, and was enjoyed very much. It was unique. Conditions and locations, and all the poets are gathered here and blossom and inspire each other. Will you come and sing something?
Come and sing
something. Yeah, thank you.
So thank you very much for videotaping the thing and contributing. And now we have Sean. So we have Michael O'Connerton, who arranged and organized this. And let's just get a bit from him. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Mary.
International Writers Network. Just want to find out, how did you find tonight?
Great.
Organising.
Great. Delighted.
What was enjoyable about it? What was enjoyable about it?
Hearing this Victoriana or whatever her name was, hearing her speak, say her prayer voice. And Nancy especially. Nancy is such a flavoursome actress.
Yes, she is.
Full of spunk and courage. In fact, I enjoyed the whole night. I couldn't find anything wrong with it. And I hope the second half will be as appealing. I wish you luck with your performance.
Thank you very much, and well done. Well done for organising. Yeah. Well done. Thank you.
I know about it. It's probably sort of vocal.
Keep up the prayers, won't you?
Hi, Balamont Writers. How are you? Nancy,
how are you?
Good to see you. Just want to find out how you found tonight.
Oh, I had a great time. I thought it was really good. I thought it was really warm and fantastic since after COVID, and the thing of everybody being together and doing some creativity is like, you can't beat it. Can't beat live.
Can't beat live. You were absolutely stunning. I've just been making comments. I love Nancy. My gosh, we can't see her, but this is Fibromyalgia herself.
Hi.
How did you find tonight?
Yeah, very good. I really enjoyed it.
And what was good about it?
I didn't think I could do it off the cuff, but I did. And maybe it's because I know so much about it. You know, and I really enjoyed it. I got into it then. Nancy did say that she thought it was going to be a bit longer, but sure, look, I got the point across, I think, didn't I? I got it out there. Do you know what I mean? It's only a little bit of what I am going to do, Mary. But your colleague actually suggested, George said to me, I told him about the play, he said, hey, go for it, just do it. So he's given me inspiration.
I think we should just go ahead. Today was just fantastic to see what you did.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what did you find good about tonight for yourself? What was interesting about tonight?
Just seeing all the different people and different... you know, they're all so talented, but in a different way, in their own way. Do you know what I mean? Each and every one of them is different.
This is the last act of this night's poetry and music evening in Holt. I'm leaving you with Mort Murphy, a wonderful local poet. And yes, take it away, Mort. Bye-bye. Have a good evening.
But...
degree, the laughter is coming from me. And as my love for you is deep as true, I give to you my laughter true. All you need to do is join with me, say, ha ha ha, ho ho ho, hee hee hee. Feel your lips wide with glee for free, as you say, hee hee hee. Let those laughter sounds be your cue. Come along, join in with me too. I put on a grin as I join in, for he is bubbling within. And the second form of the Learning to Laugh Again is a very original title. It's called Learning to Laugh Again. Here we go. Dear Jesus, happy I want to be, but with BPD is my whole life devoted to a fantasy. No matter how much laughing I do outside, it is whipped away by riptides inside. Can you will be, your love is thrown free, inside me happily. And that it is your will, love's laughter is not to be still. When worries, fear, panic have me low, your will is that I try to laugh, ho ho. I agree, laughing in the group is dead easy, like drinking soup. I have to learn to laugh on my own, when there is a forbidden zone. How can I do this weird task? And I am I putting on another type of mask? Why not go with the flow in my doubting way? Trusting you are going to make my day? So, feeling as if I'm in a madman's grip, my ho-ho comes dead from my lips. Is that the way I am to begin? Living your will, take it for a spin? And I ask if your will it be, that I keep doing what feels to me stupid. Yes, I laugh, ridiculous. I know, ho, ho, you would have that, ha, 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 you so, ho, 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 you're none of my things to do some more laughing if you're going to get me to stop. The second last point was this poem that when I was raised, nonsense rhymes was just laughed and ridiculed out of the corner. You know, nobody gives them a moment's attention. But here's a poem written about nonsense rhymes, and he's a character. Nonsense rhymes is coming. Oh, daddy, daddy, I dreamt last night. I saw a tiny man lit up a fairy light. It was nonsense rhymes flying upon his kite, and on your head he landed. Why, my little one, he's not real. To me, nonsense rhymes holds no appeal. Why am I rhyming? I feel such a heel, I've hurt you now by speaking candid. Oh, daddy, daddy, I like candy, and nonsense rhymes is dandy. We'll write a sea-song shanty, every second word even-handed. Oh, daddy, daddy, you are too dumb. Ask nonsense rhymes to put fun in your tongue. See now how you wriggle your bum. Your laughing dances, no longer stranded. And the last point, but not the last piece, is about a man who just does too much and gets himself into all kinds of trouble. It's called a difficult transition. In my opinion, a difficult transition is a truck with a bad gearbox. You won't know it until you're climbing a steep hill and in top gear it locks. Maybe you have puffed into ignition because I didn't call it transmission. I'm not a mechanic, you see. Anyway, the word is not mine. I got it from the rescue call line and the gear stick truly ignores me. My hearing is very good, as indeed it should. The doctor says so. It must be past 10 years since she looked in my ears. Would cleaning them make the truck go? We're blocking off three lanes. Others are cursing me into flames. But more urgent things are pressing hard. For the load on my truck will soon be a flowing, stinking muck as the hot sun quickly melts the old lard. I'm used to it, God knows. It makes no difference to my nose. But behind me is an open wedding car. The bride and the groom they go, eh, kaboom, because that stink sticks like tar. We're all heading for the beach. As the bride's father, I'm giving a speech. Now it will be an act of contrition. I wonder if I can become an escapee from being roasted alive at the marquee. As I say, a difficult transition. And I'm going to do it in honor of Paddy O'Keefe. Because he said something wonderful earlier about there's an inner beauty within us all, which I believe with all my heart. And it's a love song about the inner beauty in us calling to us to accept what we have within ourselves. It's called Acceptance of Who You Truly Be. Oh, that the mountains lift and reveal your lips and turn you around to accept your beauty too. You sleep until the dawn of day, sleep that you may rush anew to and fro. Yet Morpheus visit you with dreams so sweet that your soul's wonder you will come to know. Soft layers of beauty speak of youth, would fade upon time's scuttling clouds. The are but touches of the inner grace of truth, a soul wonder of beauty encased in time's shroud. Look not to dawn's new glory alone your heart to fill, or listen only outward to the lapping of the sea. Silently pray for your inner grace to give acceptance of who you truly be. Silently pray for your inner grace to give acceptance of who you truly be.
I'd like to thank you one and all for being such a marvelous audience.
When apples do grow in November, when blossoms do bloom on each tree, when leaves are still green in December, it's then that our land will be free. I wonder her hills and her valleys, and still through my sorrow I see a land that has never known freedom. Still only our rivers run free. I drink to the death of her manhood, those men who would rather have died than to live in the cold chains of bondage, to bring back their rights where denied. And where are you now when we need you? What burns where the flame used to be? Are you gone like the snow of last winter? Still only our rivers run free.
On Raglan Road, on and on. first and knew that her dark hair would weave us there, that I might one day rule. I saw the danger and I passed along the enchanted way, and I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the dawning of the day. On Grafton Street in November, we trip lightly along the ledge of a deep ravine where can be seen the work of passion's play. The Queen of Hearts still making tarts, and I not making hay. Oh, I love too much, and by such and such is happiness thrown away. I gave her gifts of the mind, I gave her secret signs that's known to the artists who have known true gods of sound and stone, and her words and tins without a stint. I gave her poems to say with her own name there and her own dark hair like clouds over fields of May on a quiet street where old ghosts meet. I see her walking now away from me so hurriedly. My reason must allow that I had loved not as I should a creature made of clay. When the angel woos the clay he loses his wings at the dawn of day.